Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I thought that was a really good skate. Keeping it in perspective, it's the first day and you have a lot of excitement, which is a lot of anxiety, and no matter what they have done prior to this, there's nothing like the first day of training camp. You know, you can train all summer long as these guys do. They come in great shape. But with the anxiety and emotions of the first day, and then knowing you absolutely can't take a shortcut anywhere in a physical battle, you're pretty tired at the end of the first day. It's draining. So I thought it was a good first day. It's a first day. We have, you know, everything we do is a process. We'll build and continue to progress and, demand more and more each day.
Having established your message through the course of last season to a team that mostly returns intact, how do you now alter it, or not alter it per se, but build on the message to the foundation that you've established as far as what your expectations are from each team, from the team and each player?
Yeah, well, there's a lot to that question. I guess I know why I have the water here. But it is a build. Everything's a build. It's a process. I mentioned to you, this room a lot last year. You know, the offensive systems of things are a build, and that's going to keep building as these guys gain more experience and confidence and poise. So we're going to keep building. We're going to keep progressing. The message is continue to get better. This sport is awesome because no matter how good you are, there's ways to get better. And lots of ways to get better. It's not just one thing. Like there's so many different skills and attributes to each player individually within his position, within the context of our system, within the context of playing as a five-man unit. It's you pull video out. We're going to pull video out even from the practice to give guys focus points. So for us, really, as coaches, it's about continuing to give them focus points, really forward thinking. You know, what they can do more or what they can do better. What maybe they're leaving on the table. You know, we talked a lot last year. There was a lot left on the table. We created a lot of opportunity that either didn't convert to scoring chances, and certainly then it didn't convert to a goal. And so, we're going to go to work in that area specifically, but many others.
With the continuity on the coaching staff and even on what we can determine will be your NHL roster, a lot of guys are back. In what ways can you really take even more advantage of training camp just in terms of growth opportunities now that you're not having to teach certain principles certain principles like you had to maybe last year where you're starting fresh in a lot of ways?
It's a huge, huge advantage. That's a big reason why I enjoy going to Men's World Championships, for example. You have 20 new players, new coaches, and you got about 4 days to integrate and play, a national team that might have been training for a month or two, the way we put our teams together here from North America and the NHL. And, so we have so many returning players that even today's practice, we ran drills without throwing a lot of detail and concepts at them, knowing they've got to get their legs and lungs back to NHL pace. And you hear the older players communicating to the new guys concepts and principles that matter or objectives within the drill. And that's pretty nice. It's very nice to see as a coach.
I know you come into these camps with an open mind, looking to design. posture to be, but how do you keep what worked last season out of your mind when you try to come up with those?
Well, we didn't win enough last season, so it's easy to think that way. You know, no matter what we did, we want to win and win more. And I've said it many times, if there's one thing I'm greedy about, it's wanting to win. I'll take more and more. But so the focus is on that. I mean, it's, you know, things might look good and things might look great, but don't we want better? I don't want to settle for good or great. I want better and better. So that's easy. So we're always, you know, that's the mindset. That's what I push the coaches every day. There wasn't a drill out there. There was one drill we did last year. My push with the coaches was, you know, we're not doing a drill that we did last year right now. Find a way to do something better. And we'll, and that was, you know, one area that I'll push them as a staff, and push us as a staff, really. So for us, yeah, it's much less of thinking I'm going to find some, you know, beautiful line. And then you got to ask yourself, okay, this is a great line. Do we want to be better? Can we find something better? Because you're always missing better if you don't, if you go into that conservative mode. And we're not there yet to be doing that.
Do you plan to alternate them? Is there a plan? Is there a number one?
Well, it's all, any plan is that you have, you plan all summer long, but you don't have information for day two. And that's injuries and how guys feel and, you know, all any other thing that can come up in regards. So, yeah, there's always a plan. There's always a system. There's always thoughts in mind. There's always lots of discussions behind the scenes. But as far as what our final decision will be, you know, what we'll make of that, you know, if we're talking just game one of the regular season, we've got a lot of time before that with a lot of information to be making those decisions. So, you know, I'm not one to speculate ahead. Let's watch and see, and I think we'll all see pretty similar by the time that day comes.
The seasons that Jack Quinn and Paterka put in last year, now as we move forward and they're in training camp, you're trying to earn spots, what do they have to show you now to show you they're ready?
I'm not worried about them, nor do I think about showing me they're ready. I want to get them playing their best. And then we can evaluate them and evaluate and see where they're at. So, you know, that has to do with conditioning. That has to do with the psyche. That has to do with putting with players that, you know, again, we can see their potential or their potential best. And those are still reads based on information now. So, you know, the game one that they'll play in a preseason game, we'll look at it and say, okay, they've earned the right, Paul, to that we know them, and I watched them enough last year. These are guys that are going to help us. Those two players are going to help us. They're going to help our team. They're going to help us in practice. Where they're at in that spectrum of helping us right now, that's what we need to evaluate. But I want to accelerate that progress just as I want to with every player. But with them, you know they're going to help us, you know, more and more as they gain experience. They have what we really need to see. They have an appetite for more. They compete really hard. Their ceiling is really high, and they're accomplishing things day by day. You know, obviously, you know the relationships I have with Seth. I mean, we've talked countless times over the last year on these players and the progress of those two guys and more. So it's continuing to evaluate that process and knowing we want them to be in our lineup.
Pardon me for this being maybe a little bit long, but I'm known for that. But
no apologies needed in here, John.
You've mentioned getting better a few times now, that being your message, that, you know, why not get better? How do you balance this thought? Kyle Okposo ended last season believing that there can be a carryover on how you finished last season into this year. But how do you balance that or guard against just saying, we show up and we can just do where, pick up where we left off in April?
The great question. The carryover has to be the experience. Positive experiences, negative experience, frustrating experiences. And I think those guys identify with what I mentioned earlier is what we left on the table. They're pissed off that, you know, that there were nights I challenged them hard, that I believe this is a game that we should win. And we said that a lot all the way, you know, the last half of the year before we even started winning. I'm big on, you know, you have to be confident before you win. You know, if your confidence just comes because you just started winning, I don't know how that really works in the long run. So I think our guys were really confident before we started winning hockey games. And they played with that intent and that intention. And so they've developed kind of that ownership and identified with, okay, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into winning and a lot of details that need to be executed. And we gave up skill and experience a lot to teams in the last few years. And I mentioned to this group, and my message was, we just need to get better and better. And that was the message back there with our group. And when we get better, those we can see that. And now it's we go into games, and I don't think we feel the outcome is going to be decided by skill. That team just has more skill than us. They're going to win. That was almost the mentality and mindset. So now it pisses you off because it's not, you're not going to lose the game because of skill. You're going to lose the game because of execution, because of details. And you mentioned Okposo when you say that. That's leadership. I mean, that's a guy that's been in this league. We know. Look at how long he's been in the league and look at how competitive he is. So he knows that. I think that message has gone to the players. So, you know, if we're going to carry something over from last year, I don't think it's the good and the winning. I think it's the taste in your mouth of, you know, we left some stuff on the table, and we need to go after that.
Of all the things that this team accomplished last year, is that might be the biggest takeaway aside from individual performances?
That is accomplishment to me. Like I said, wins will follow. I like the winning is, you know, I guess you can confuse, you know, everybody looks at winning, and you know, that's, and then you talk about success. And I think sometimes you confuse the two, or they sound the same. You know, we're talking about success. And that's doing the right things, targeting the right things, from your preparation the right way to go get things, and then winning is the result, you know. And I think this group has identified well with that, what it takes to be successful, which is every day. And you do it, and you're going to win more.
Don, Kevin got an extension yesterday, and he was obviously instrumental in you getting a chance to go behind an NHL bench. How has that relationship evolved from April of 2021 to now?
Yeah, it's grown, and it's grown really to the point where you go into coaching and you go into management. One thing you miss is being part of a team and teammates. You just miss it. It's just not there. And I would liken that growth to being teammates. You know, I get that feeling just in our conversations. He's someone that, you know, I can go to and vent, and I have. You know, I mean, I can't vent to you guys. It would be pretty interesting. It would be pretty interesting, I'm sure. Yeah, that would be a tough one if I said that, Paul. Mike, let's talk in confidence. That would just kill you not to write what I told you. No, but that's the relationship we have. I need somebody. As a coach, I want Kevin involved as much as he wants to be involved with me. I just talked to him about practice. What were his takeaways? He gave me a couple thoughts. You know, I give him our game plan going in, and he gives me his thoughts after. I don't want to say opinions because we're trying to figure this out together, and we try different things. And you know, if I'm wrong, I want somebody that's going to tell me that. I try to do with, there's always thought going into it, but it might be thought, and it might be a bias, it might be going right direction. So I need somebody that can look out for me. And I have a trust in Kevin that, you know, he knows our coaching staff works. And I think, my growth in relationship to him is the speed of information is incredible. My first 6 years, Mike, and I'm sorry to be long on this, but I was the general manager and the coach. And it was easy to get things done immediately. I obviously, I lived it. And being the general manager and the coach, you know, all those coaching and general manager decisions were made like that. Sometimes the two had, no, I won't go into that. But you know, I feel that way now. It's the speed of what we can get to things to move on to the next thing is really, really important. And that's why I feel I need to have a great relationship with him, but it just works. He's a great person. He works hard, and he's an extremely experienced NHL, you know, former player in mind.
When you look at what Owen Power was able to do at the end of last year, just how do you work with him as he goes into his first full pro season?
Yeah, much like the answer to Peterka and Quinn. I've tracked him for quite a while. He looked great again today. He looked today even, you know, he coaches himself very well. He studies the game. He studies his position. He studies best players. So he's always finding ways to get better or add to his game. So, you know, I think with him, much like we did at the end of last year, we wanna throw him in there without, we don't want him dipping his toe in the pool. Just jump right in, and because he will self-correct. So we want him going hard. And so we'll watch him, and I'm sure he's going to have 90% of everything right on, and the 10% that's not, we'll be able to see, okay, this is the 10% we need to approach him with. I don't need to approach him with 100% of stuff. Let's see what he gets right and what his feel is. So we need to learn about him before we start inundating him with, you know, stuff to consciously think about. And that's the process with all our guys. I don't want them thinking about us. It's our job to think about them.
Tim, what's your thought as you enter camp today now? Two players. Is Casey Mittelstadt a wing or a center today? And is Dylan Cousins a wing or a center? What is your thought as you enter camp?
I'll turn that back to you. Why are they one or the other? And that's just the way we think. And why would we convince ourselves that they're one or the other? You know, we don't want to limit. That's limiting. I know it might seem like, you could argue it's not limiting because this guy's a better centerman. But for them to have that and that flexibility, because they can, both those players specifically now, shifted now specifically because they both have attributes that, if you shift them to either position within a game or within a game, they're dangerous in different ways at center, and they're dangerous in different ways on the wing, and it's impressive. And they're growing in both, so that's pretty exciting. So I don't know what we'll do. When you have the line combinations for us, we have 5, 6, 12 lines in camp. So we have a lot of young guys, and I thought the rookies were really good in the prospect camp or the rookie tournament. I want to integrate some of the rookies with the guys that have been here. So that's preventing us from getting to lines. I think, you know, once we hit in October, you're going to see us move more toward line combinations as we prepare for that game, the opener, I should say. But now I want to integrate the organization and these guys with different people. So I'm not too concerned with line combinations yet. And in the process, I think Casey and Dylan are enjoying playing, you know, different positions. And we'll just keep moving along that and see what we see when day one opens. What injuries do we have? What our lineup looks like? And then we'll say, okay, we need this guy at center. And to note, one's a righty, one's a lefty there too. So.
How have you seen the experience that Rasmus Dahlin gained last season in a much more bigger role influence, build upon his confidence? And what do you see the next steps for Rasmus now that he has all that experience and then going into his fifth training camp?
It's going to sound a boring answer, but just keep getting better. And much like I said about Owen, you know, he's a guy that has a huge appetite for more. You know, he's immersed in the moment and the next moment that he has control of in preparation. He doesn't get too far ahead of himself. We've known him to dwell on mistakes quite a bit, and we've kind of pushed him out of that. I think that's helped accelerate his development. I know he went in the summer, and I said it to many people. I don't think I said it to this group, but even the success of defensemen in the NHL playoffs. I was, when we were talking as a staff, I said, I know that Dahls is watching the NHL playoffs, and it pisses him off. And he's got such a high personal standard that I know he demands more. So I know that he's taking initiative over the summer to make himself a better hockey player based on what he sees and based on the experience he's gained. So again, I'm going to just let him go and watch and help him wherever I can. But he's a better player than he was when he left us on our last game, April 29th. There is no doubt about it.
Is there an advantage to having him and Owen in the same practice group?
No, it just happened that way, Jordan. We had so many different things. We absolutely thought about, you know, some of the young guys mixing with more experienced guys, but I don't think we worried about Owen and Dahls in that regard.
What are some of the important attributes to look for in the next team captain, and how do you view your player leadership?
We have great leadership. I'll just point out our three, you know, older, I think there are three oldest guys is Gergensen's, Okposo, and Craig Anderson. And they do a tremendous job. They have that, just that presence. There's a presence there. And they're in it, obviously, as competitors, but they really have a deep care for helping some other guy achieve more. They don't fear that, oh, this guy could replace me, which is very uncommon, you know, whether that's a conscious thought or a subconscious thought. Sometimes it's hard for the older players to really, really help a guy that might replace him or take some ice time away from him. Those three, the three guys are, you know, they love it. They, you know, we've tried to empower them to that end, and they've embraced it, and they love it. So, you know, I think Kevin mentioned, you know, we've discussed captaincy a lot over the summer and extensively, I should say, and there's a lot of guys that we know have the capability of either being or becoming a captain at this level. And that was one of the biggest things when we did a real deep dive and asked ourselves questions and even talked to others, that we have a lot of guys in that room that are becoming leaders and better leaders every day. You know, we want to make sure we clear the way that happens, that process keeps happening. Those players that maybe you know, that not who are necessarily just who our captain is, but a whole next group of guys are coming. Because let's face it, we've had Gergensen's and Okposo last year. We talked about them being the captains, and then we had some, you know, we had to add through injuries the A to guys. But those are the two guys that obviously are within our captain group this year. And the next group of guys is a big number of guys. So we want to make sure that keeps moving.
Do you feel there's a variety in the types of leaders, like the types of leadership that is emerging with different guys?
Yeah, there is. Different personalities and different, you know, and you have leaders that, you know, you can have an extreme leader that's, you know, not necessarily captain material. Like captain material, you got to be very comfortable getting in a guy's face, calling guys out. You know, that's a big part of captaincy too, and that's a burden. That's a lot. You know, and again, you know, when you think of young guys, I think that sometimes that's a concern for any organization when you're pointing a young guy. I think that's probably the toughest part of a young guy. He's in a position where he's got to call out his teammates, and you know, he might be 8-10 years younger than a guy. And I'm just saying that in general in sports. And so those are so many different components you look at when you think about captaincy. It's different than leadership, basically.
Kevin was saying that Rasmus has a quiet
swagger
to him. How do you see that swagger?
Swagger to me is a confidence with a willingness to earn it and re-earn it. You know, it's when you're cocky and you're, you know, you don't maybe don't feel you have to earn it. You've earned it already. You know, Rasmus is willing to earn it. So when he chirps even a teammate in practice, he'll go harder than that. He knows. He'll challenge the guy in practice and call him out, and then he'll hop in line and go one-on-one against him and say, I'll show you what I'm talking about. You're not going hard enough, and you're not competing hard enough. So he'll back up what he says. So he's, in my mind, you've earned that swagger. That's a good, healthy swagger. So
knowing how much it's okay to earn your way, push him, how, I'm not sure pride is the right word, but the fact that he is now at the point where he gets to sign that kind of a contract, and how do you see, knowing his mentality, how do you see him not settle after being rewarded?
Yeah, there's no, he'll never settle on that. He wants to prove more, and you know, he wants to prove it to himself, which is the best thing. He wants to play for our fans, for our team, for his coaches, his teammates, but that burn inside of him, he's just quiet. And you guys have learned and seen him endure quietly and have to, you know, just try to be under the radar when you couldn't be under the radar to stay focused on, you know, back to our theme, getting better. So, yeah, it was really, I'm really excited for him. I am not worried about him. He wants more. I've told the story that when he scored his 30th, I leaned over on the bench and said, you know, I know you're thinking like me. This is a great reward, but let's go get 31 and more. And that's it. That's the way he processes things.
Kevin talked about, you know, he did a very deep dive, and you're talking to you and doctors and trainers and sports performance, everybody, to try to get a handle on how can you reduce the injuries. So from what you've heard in all those discussions, is there anything you can do, maybe practice-wise and that type of thing, as you look, as you've listened and talked and everything, that maybe can help reduce the number of injuries that you guys have had?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things that come to mind, Paul, and again, these are things that when you do this, you're going to look at the science of it, which we do. We don't feel that there's a lot of information in the science of, you know, heart rate tracking through the guys that is positive. I don't think that it would be an issue at all. We did have a lot of man games missed last year. I know we were top of the league at some point late, and that really helped us getting healthy late in the year. I don't know where we finished up in that regard. But when you're a younger organization, the lack of experience forces you to compete harder. You're less efficient. So you're competing harder, you're exhausting yourself more, and it's compounding. So I'm not nervous and feel we have had a problem with that, Paul. I think that is a sign of what fit, if you look at our whole organization. We're a young team growing, and we are trying to overachieve, which means the wear and tear factor is way harder on us than teams that are top 10 in the league. You know, they can walk in a building and they actually try to play efficient as an objective. We're feeling that we can win the game this way. When you're, you know, where we were at as a young, experienced team, you're flying here, flying over there, maybe because you don't have quite the calm and experience yet, and compound that, you know, you're going to run your risk of more injuries. It just, in my mind, I've seen it, I've gone through it with teams in the past. So I think that was a bit of the component. But again, this is something that's no indicator that it's going to resolve this year. I think what Kevin has done is continually progress this organization in depth. I feel we have greater depth. We've built things where we know the style we want to play. We've brought players in that fit that even stronger. We've grown players within that have fit that stronger. So we are improving our efficiency from that standpoint, which I think is you know, going to be tied to, you know, time will tell. But you know, we a lot of things we do in that regard are thinking of hypotheticals, but I feel we're in a really good place, Paul. And with that, I will mention, because Kevin did mention to me, when he spoke of injuries, his mind was the rookie camp. But we do have Malone, Picar, and Nadeau who are out right now in this camp. So Malone, Picar, and Nadeau.
How long from Malone?
We don't know. Malone is on the ice skating with Mike Ancel, working his way back to practice now. In full contact. I don't have any reports on details, Paul. So. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, he's not on my list. I don't know. Sorry.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.